Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hello, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here for you on Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday, 12 to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time over in the good old USA. So check your time around the world in your country or right here in the USA in your state. And today I wanted to mention that it appears that the world is spinning around faster and faster. And the days just seem to fly by, and the years are flying by. I can't even believe that I was informed by Facebook recently, who suspends me quite a bit since 2019, that I'd been a member since September 4th, 2009, and that I've been a member for 10 years, an entire decade. But I couldn't celebrate my 10-year Facebook celebration with my 5,000-plus Facebook friends, plus thousands more waiting. But Facebook only allows you to have 5,000 Facebook members at a time. But there are many more who read your Facebook posts and follow you, despite the 5,000 limit. But that's a long time, and it flew by. That means two presidents, President Barack Hussein Obama and now President Donald J. Trump. And what's interesting is that many of my Facebook friends have followed me for 7, 8, 9, and 10 years. And many of us have become actual friends. Most of us have never met in person. A few of us have met at events or have known each other from the past. And when, especially when I was a political activist and advocate for a grassroots movement and organization entitled Women Fight Back. And so that makes me very happy that I have developed and they have developed a bonding, even though we've never met over the past decade. But we have a thread that has bonded us together. And that includes morals, principles, values, patriotism, Americanism, and freedom, liberty, and rights and sovereignty in the good old USA for the sake of our children and future generations and even our grandchildren, or maybe you have great-grandchildren. They even suspended my new Facebook public page, which took off and was at 100% response. So when they shut down, but suspended my regular Facebook page, they also suspend your group page and your public page as well. So that's very interesting. But even though you've been a member for an entire decade, even more amazing. So now I tweet more than I post on Facebook until I back on Facebook. And you can reach me at Twitter at Rose for Justice. And you can read my blogs at roseforjustice.com. And I've been on Twitter for about the same amount of time, 8 or 9 or 10 years. It's hard to believe how fast the time is flying by, and the world appears to be more violent than in the past, or is it because we are seeing it on social media at such a rapid pace? Is it due to the changes in the environment, the lack of believing in a higher power, someone besides ourselves? Is it because the Earth was knocked off its axis by a meteor? The failure of mankind to protect the environment with all the pollution and the in the skies, in the ground, in the water, in the oceans, the radiation. And much of it is done for either carelessness or greed. I think it might be a combination of a lot of complex and convoluted worldwide problems that haven't been resolved, as the globalist push for open borders, globalism, a world without borders, and even a world without laws by sovereign nations from with open borders, would be allowing foreign enemies to enter into their nations as well. They just want everyone and anyone to walk into our country or anyone else's sovereign country who feel like entering or flying into the country or even coming by boat. This leads to the question of what are baby boomers and those who are 40 or over going to leave for the future generations? Will they be free or controlled by AI's artificial intelligence, including their thoughts? Will they be controlled by a one-world government leader who perhaps denies rights, liberties, and freedoms, including the freedom of thought, to survivors? Will they even know how to read or think if all they have to do is be controlled by AIs and click on a button, which is happening today? The touch of one's human body with friends and family or people we meet and we like is becoming rare because people are afraid to touch because of all of the lawsuits and the accusations of sexual harassment. And communication on one-on-one, in person, is becoming rare because everyone's texting and emailing. There is no tone and there is no human communication. There is no human voice to hear that tone or to endear to you, because voice is very important. We recognize people by their voices. Even AIs want to recognize us by our voices. But there's no feeling there. There's only being tracked. You're only being tracked. They want everyone and anyone to walk into any country they feel like, as I said. And if they are tracking everybody, including people who aren't citizens of the USA or other sovereign nations, the question is, are they violating their civil rights? This leads to the question of what are baby boomers, again, those over 40 leaving for the future generations? Will they be controlled by artificial intelligence? Will our thoughts be controlled, especially their thoughts? The younger generations, will they have rights, liberties, and freedoms, the freedom to think? Will they be literate? Will they be thinking for themselves, creating, imagining, and inventing things? Will they know about past histories of the USA and other countries? Will they know about their ancestors? Or will everyone be told they are all of the same family and the same genetics? I guess I will never know that far in advance if there will be transhumans. But the question remains, is it that far in advance? I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And on that introduction, I want to let you know that we will be entering into the world of authors and experts. And today we have a great guest. Her name is Bo Lebo. Great name, Bo Lebo, L-E-B-O. She is an educator, a researcher, and performer that works with NASA's Mission Earth universities and colleges, providing new integrative instruction in K to 12 for new outcomes. She was the publisher of Freedom from Back Pain, the Mesendelic Method, and the promoter and audio label for The Wind in the Willows, a CD by William Elliott, and a library of spoken word health audios once available in both consumer catalogs and at public libraries. And I'll tell you a little bit more about her when we come back from our break. So don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because we're about to enter into the world of authors and experts, and we have a wonderful expert today. Our guest is Bo Lebo. I told you a little bit about her before our break, and I'll tell you a little bit more. Her master's degree in holistic education and her work with Globe Storybooks have enabled her to keep music in the classroom. I love music. I'm so happy to hear that, because I remember a fifth grade teacher who played classical music and then would describe places like the Grand Canyon while we rested our heads on the desk, Miss Duffy, and I never forgot the music and I never forgot the stories or Miss Duffy. I think that's very, very important. I'm using new standards and rubrics, work in multimedia and public literacy instruction for four-year-olds to adults. Find out how breakthroughs in neuroscience, music, memory, and health can help the public understand today's social forces. It's not easy to do today, is it? We do need some help here. Tomorrow's leaders and ongoing habits for youthfulness, concentration, not another easy thing to do, contribution, and coping, and very much not an easy thing to do. Her products and projects have been honored by Betty White. We love Betty White. On the Big Spin, won awards, and made a difference to at-risk populations and patient education and self-help consumers. New Education is a nonprofit public benefit education corporation in California, training teachers, parents, children, and future graduates. So let's get started, and let's say hello and welcome Bo Lebo to Columbo Chronicles Live. Welcome, Bo Lebo. We're very happy to have you on Columbo Chronicles Live.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me okay?
I certainly can. I can hear you just fine. And, you know, you have a very interesting background, and part of your background includes concerns about science and climate and climate change. And so why don't we start with what was just in the news, that was actually carrying the news until the impeachment information came along about climate change. There was a young 15-year-old girl from Sweden named Greta Thunberg, and she appeared to be very upset and concerned about the climate. What do you know about that?
Well, she arrived with an incredible amount of impact in the last week to the UN COP24, which has a background, if you look at it on YouTube, where you can hear her speech about changing together or coming together over the issues that have to do with the Earth warming up and the ice caps melting And that may turn off some people, or they may think this young teenager is influenced by adults and not speaking for herself. But it brings up literacy, health, the changing of the bird population, all kinds of things important to families, neighborhoods, quality of life. So this is a young woman who is an incredible speaker and very succinct. And you can listen to her whole speech and think what you think about it. But I wanted to address maybe the stress factor in the fact that many of us grew up thinking we don't do math and we don't do science. As soon as school was over, forget it. As soon as I pass that test, forget it. I don't have to use it anymore.
Right.
And then, you know, I don't think a lot of us think about writing books for the statistics of who writes them, even though they're 300,000 or more every year, often more. And then all these forms like podcasting, which makes, you know, writing books old hat, and audiobooks, and then, you know, making little tiny videos. They even did it on the Emmys. They made a kind of app that had a daughter walking towards a door and opening a door and then seeing the entire panoply of the Emmys audience. So we're having fun playing with consumer electronics. We may not, like you were just talking about, know how to protect our privacy anymore or know how to cope with news about climate all of a sudden, because there were 170 news outlets who took on Climate Now with the Columbia School of Advertising. Journalism. I have a consumer electronics phone, and it can distract me. So, and it can also drop out. So I apologize ahead of time. I may be imperfect on this interview, but I'm looking forward to it, and I'm really having fun with you. So I guess we have a couple things you brought up. Memory and music, I'd like to talk
right.
to. Stress, I'd like to talk to, and health. And then knowing what to say at the Thanksgiving table or at the Hanukkah table or at the holidays coming up or even at Halloween, if people don't agree with you and you spout off something and suddenly it's an uncomfortable room. So I want to deal with stressors. Yeah,
stress is so important because stress is a killer.
Yeah, well, a doctor named Hans Selye, who was a doctor way back, and I'm not sure if what year it was, but he was a Canadian doctor. Another doctor named Gaber Mate, who was a contemporary of my brother-in-law up in Vancouver, and scientists around the world who are working with GLOBE in 126 countries are actually practical human beings that started talking about what happens during the day, like you're trying to do your laundry and you get 5 phone calls, or you get phishing phone calls, or you can't pay attention to a lot of things because people are doing push media to advertise to you, and those can often sway your opinion more than hearing the whole speech that this teenager made. And she came here on a boat just to talk about where time is wasting, and we got to get on helping our neighborhoods and helping our birds and helping it be prepared for heat waves or floods or storms. And I'm not saying that to be scaring anyone. I'm saying that because we're having to be more and more self-sufficient. We're having to have supplies for earthquakes here in California. We're having a coastal cleanup with Heal the Bay coming up. And so for stress, one of the things you can do is go for a walk with somebody that you love. You can take 5 deep breaths, and I became an expert on science in my own body because I used to get cold hands, and I learned to warm up the biosphere of my body. So holistic education became a natural for me because I was lucky enough to get to have a doctor for a father and find out that the research said I could warm up my hands by working with my autonomic nervous system and by breathing. And so I learned a lot about yoga before it was popular, and I learned a lot about stretching, and I learned a lot about, you know, calming down by just taking a couple deep breaths. And that's something anybody could do if a conversation goes off and someone doesn't agree with you, or you need to get approval from somebody and they maybe have a different point of view. So simple techniques can help. I thought that that young woman is causing a commotion in a wonderful way, and it's not just she, it's also kids from all over the world who have begun to strike on Fridays, maybe just at their lunch hour, to say that it matters to their future, that we care about everyone's future.
Yeah, the thing I felt, though, when I was watching her speak was that she was feeling a lot of stress and anger because I think she felt that the world leaders were not taking climate changes seriously. And I kind of felt sorry for her because of that reason, because I was in the beauty industry for many, many years and a licensed esthetician who, like you said, before it even became popular, aromatherapy, de-stressing programs and all this type of thing. And so I'm a true believer in you need to be proactive in your own health. And people ask me all the time, how can you talk about all these issues, which I've been doing for 30 years or more, and, you know, seeing the different things changing over the years. And like the birds you mentioned, and they're the bees, where are they? Where's the butterflies? Where's all the variety of, you know, the caterpillar? You don't see them anymore, or very few. The varieties are diminished. I don't care what anybody says. This is somebody that's been paying attention. And so I truly believe that, in my opinion, that a lot of the problems with the diminishing of, I don't know if this is correct or not, of the droughts and the loss of birds and bees and ladybugs and caterpillars and all this have to do a lot with the radiation that's emitting from the new AIs and the high-tech advancements they've made in the country. What do you think about that?
I'm going to go a little back. I mean, it's pretty clear that all the computer systems, like I was going to suggest a fun thing to do that would be great for the holidays is maybe get Robert Escalante's book on playing Scrabble, because the first thing you have to do to read a science article is to know the words or be able to connect the words to something in memory that you can relate to. Like stress is a word that represents a whole cycle of chemicals that let loose in our bodies, and we understand the idea of being triggered at a holiday and just wanting to go hide under the bed or lock ourselves in the other room and get away from the aunt, the uncle, the in-law, the child that, you know, has the high-pitched voice. So we understand the idea of stressors since we started with Hanselia, but we don't often get trained by our doctors to do anything about it. Like if we don't hear bird singing, we don't really relax. If we don't hear the bioacoustic sounds of the birds, the bees, and whatever, even if we don't want to get bitten by a mosquito, we often are losing the very thing that makes us feel like we want to learn something new or take on cleaning out a closet or feel like we could do the floor. I understand that sometimes we have injuries and we can't do any of that and we're stressed out to begin with. The last thing you want to hear is a shrill teenager. But I think she has merit in that she could quote you specifically the math of what's going on with CO2 and begin to talk about the pollutants in the air, whether they're man-made or natural. And if we don't have a vocabulary about volcanoes or earthquakes or mud that comes down the hill or trees that have been cut and maybe sinkholes, we can't talk about all these things. We don't often think to talk for a caterpillar, for example, like you did, which is just terrific because I miss looking at cocoons. Cocoons are some of the most magical things you can do with a child is find one and watch it over time. And we're not in a regular time cycle right now with the seasons anymore with that equipment you're talking about, which takes up a lot of energy, and these supercomputers get very hot and they heat up the earth. We often don't go with the seasons anymore. We don't go with real time. We don't go with the day or the hour. We go by the second because a story can come in from three different sources on your phone and everybody's pushing on Twitter. Instead of birds tweeting, we have Twitter to get your attention and to sway your opinion. So I'd say in terms of that first thing about whether you're getting enough clean air to breathe if you have COPD or if you're getting enough air because you get so tense you don't take a breath anymore. And a lot of us don't go out to the ocean because we're busy stuck in traffic jams, and or it's really hot during the day and you have to manage your time if you're, where you live is very hot and it's not cool enough. So the baby steps are we're busy managing our budgets rather than dealing with the natural world. Most people live in either an urban or a rural environment, but we don't have often both. So I would say you're right about noticing things are different. And what she's bringing to everyone's attention is not about being right, but she's brave enough to speak about something that people forget and become a student who wants to go back to the classroom, but is willing to stand up for her future. She was talking about when she has kids. And so the generations yet unborn on the earth and the generations yet to come are asking for us to pay attention. So I wanted to bring this radio show to ways that you can pay attention. You don't have to do all of it. You could, you
no,
could
it's
become
impossible
a birder in your
to
backyard.
Do all of
backyard.
It, but yeah. You know, it is impossible to do all of it. But, you know, if you're a baby boomer, I'm a baby boomer, so I've seen the seasons change, and I've been talking about it for decades. I'm like, this is not the same. We had summer, it was summer. We had fall, it was fall. We had winter, it was spring, it was spring.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched it and been talking about it for a very long time. And people looked at me like I was crazy for a long, long time, you know. No, there aren't enough variety of butterflies and bees, and I'm telling you, and birds, and it's changing, and those are chemicals that they're spraying, and they're going to kill our trees. They're going to get into our water, our ocean. What goes up must come down. I mean, to me, it was common sense, and of course,
okay,
living during that period of time. And you actually witness the changes. And so these kids haven't even witnessed the changes, and they're concerned, and they haven't seen the tons of varieties we saw or the cocoons. I think that's really, really sad, because that's one of the things we did do as children, and we were de-stressed. We weren't stressed out like all these kids because we were outside and enjoying the environment. I think that's a very important point that you made about that, listening to the birds.
Okay, so now I'm going to give you a few pointers for everybody, because I think that your point is so important and really something that we used to hang out with people different ages. Now the computer on our phone sorts us out according to age group and sells us something that fits our size, our style, you know, our shape, our supposedly our demographic, and it's all targeted. So how do you get out of that mess? So that's what I wanted to point to. I have become someone who's been able to walk across several different disciplines to be able to talk about this with you. One is, how do you become self-aware? Because you're not going to pay attention to all of these things if you're upset or if you're not aware to look at your environment and pay attention to what's going on around you. Like, I have a lizard who visits on my steps every day. I think he's been eating the acorns that I've been growing because I started a citizen science project on my back porch because of the fires with oak trees. So
oh, wow.
The Hahamunga tribes underneath have a nursery out under JPL out in La Cañada, and I went and gathered some acorns, and then they gathered some acorns, and then I grew them in cups that I cut in half. And I took paper clips and hung them on a CD rack, you know, the kind that used to hold CDs that nobody has anymore. And and I made a high-rise on my porch of the first that I know of urban forest project that's a rural urban forest that's a high-rise in order to start growing seedlings that could potentially replace trees that were burned down out in the Mountains Conservancy. You know, out near the Renaissance Fair land, and that's under the National Forest. So one of the things we can do is we can pay attention to trees and canopies. We can put the app from Globe on our phone, and we can go for a walk with someone we love, and we can look at the height of the trees, and then we could go back and look at the Globe handouts that are for free, either in the storybooks or in the science protocols, and you could start learning about the size of the tree and how it breathes and takes in CO2 and what kind of chemicals are produced in trees and what makes all those circles for all those years and the book Shel Silverstein's Giving Tree becomes a living possibility for doing math, for learning vocabulary words, for hugging a tree if you want to play hide and seek if you want to, but to climb or to just admire and keep safe and bring some water to, because we have signs up all over LA that say water your trees, they're your oxygen. So
right.
LA is committed to be the place that we're already together, and one of the things they've committed to is planting 90,000 trees. And the Danes have just promised to plant 1 million trees, and so I think we're going to add 63 trees to that from last year. And there are 4,000 new trees being planted on a farm in Ireland, and we're going to be working with a book from Ireland called Anything's Possible. So I think that Greta is just the irritant in the eye of humanity at the moment, that maybe we don't want to see that some of our values we don't live up to, some of our possibilities we're looking for, but then we forget because we've got to pick up our car or catch a kid at school or get to work on time, and that something stalled us. And so compassion, planning, paying attention, measuring, these all go with cooking, but they also go with basically doing citizen science. And so, for example, allaboutbirds.org has that report about the birds, and Southern California has the Bluebird Club and the Audubon Society and a park on the side of Griffith Park where you could go be near a fountain, read a book, and watch the birds. So there are plenty of things you could find out about.
I think it's really important to teach children all of that and to take care. I mean, I talk to my plants. I hate when they die. It just really breaks my heart. And I try to do everything to keep them alive, including talking to them. So, I mean, and you go out to the deserts, and they're just tearing out the deserts, and they're building more cement, you know, putting more cement, more homes. So they're actually disrupting the environment with cement. And they're not protecting the deserts or, you know, all of these places that were just natural environmental places to drive through and be able to see the deserts and the cactus and the sunsets and all this, because they're leveling it out for more property, more shopping centers. So I think it's really important to protect as much as we can of the environment for future generations.
Okay,
natural,
so I'm going to go back to what started with Wind in the Willows, which is a famous book that multiple generations know. They don't necessarily know the musical by William Elliott, but in California, we had technical groups that were working on exactly what you're talking about because of things that happened with oil spills and other things that happened to us along the way, and the intermarriage between the urban and the rural, the freeways that connected us, and then our agricultural reliance, because we are the farms that feed a lot of the world, so, along with other very special places in the United States. So Jerry Lieberman, with a foreword by Richard Louv, which it talks about children in nature and that we have to have them connected to nature, and it calms them down. Even the oils in the trees calm down children and help them focus. We're able to do a book a few years ago, also available on Amazon. And if you like what I'm talking about, you could give a donation through Amazon Smile by buying these books for Christmas for someone as stocking stuffers and giving a donation to the Celtic Arts Center or to New Education Options. And that'll help a local nonprofit in your area that maybe has a learning center, a nature center, or the Long Beach Aquarium that had everybody come and talk about this and may have upcoming programs. We have Heal the Bay that has an upcoming October pickup of the beach. We have this book called Education and the Environment, Creating Standards-Based Programs in Schools and Districts by Gerald Lieberman through Harvard University Press. And what it talks about is all the people that met to be able to talk about the LA River as an environmental context, even if we're bringing it back from being cemented in human systems and in social systems and in the built environment system and how we interrelate. whether it's a river or a delta or a mountain going down from a ridge like the Los Angeles crest of the mountains down through Pasadena and La Crescenta out to the ocean, we are now having people say on the news, hey, straws. Straws is a flaky thing to talk about. But when you do the pickup with Friends of the River, for example, which is a fantastic nonprofit, you find out that plastic straws are ending up in the oceans just like beer, you know, the six-pack, the thing that holds them together out of the plastic. So plastic bottles and trash are not being accepted by different countries right now. We have a backup of trash. We're needed as human beings more than ever to bend down and get that wonderful new waist you want for the holidays for a new outfit and be able to walk and talk and be healthy, get those deep breaths, and also be able to make a difference to where we live because
right,
we have a new system.
People can also look up Garbage Island on the Internet, and that's a really shocking YouTube video, Garbage Island.
Right.
All...
The other thing is that, yeah, it's amazing. But what I wanted to talk about is when we use sentences like them and us, we end up with an either-or world, and I'm going to say that what Greta's about is a both-and world. She knows her statistics, so I don't think anybody did that to her. People joined her and gave her a boat that wasn't going to leave particles in the air that dirty the air. But it's going to be everybody cleaning this up. So Cal EPA and CIWMB, these are agencies of the government in our state, and there are different agencies that handle it in different states. But we need to ask that everybody get on the page to cool down the planet, get clean air, clean water, or preserve it, or bring it back and bring it up to a better level, protect the reefs, protect the animals to not get caught in things. And so whether it's the bird population, the insect population, or it's other animals, one of the things is our governor was part of creating the Clean Air Act, was part of dealing with Californians that are kids that have asthma and trying to find a way that they would get nebulizers. It's a combination of science and action and dialogue and what's important and being proactive, like you said. Like the best
right.
way
because,
to work with it is
because the police even, I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, I read an article that said 90% of the pollution in the ocean is from India and third world nations. And because they have there's billions of people and there's no way to keep, you know, they don't have the modern day plumbing and sewages and all that we have in our country. And so it's important for us to maintain our country and keep it clean, safe, and healthy, because if we don't, we can't help anybody else. And so I think that's really important, because even over in Florida, the police have and it wasn't a joke, the police have reported that there are meth alligators now, and to be very wary of them because of all the drugs going into the water that are being flushed into the ocean, into the rivers, the oceans, and all of this. So it is a huge combination of a lot of different complex, convoluted things that are happening today and around the world. And we do have to be proactive and be aware.
So I think that media literacy is a big deal. Knowing the source and we're finding that out when we're talking about elections. We're finding that out when we're finding out, like, whether the story is blaming someone else instead of having responsible oversight. So I'm just going to read from this paper for a second. I wanted to also talk about John Muir and how he is the source of the Sierra Club in California, and some of the wonderful ways that we've begun to see nature through photography throughout the years. So there was a program called the Informal Science Education Group in 2003, and they got together a number of people, and this paper was from a journal called Citizen Science Theory and Practice, a framework for articulating and measuring individual learning outcomes from Participation in Citizen Science. And I'm not going to bore you with this. I'm just going to relate it back to talking to your grandkids or your nieces or your nephews or a teacher or a principal, because kids now in across the nation are going to be tested for real science in third grade. So what I'm doing with music, which we haven't gotten to, we'll get to just in a second. But for this, we're looking at multiple disciplines, and they come together through citizen science. So I'm relating you to the Cornell Lab of it's their bird studying lab, and their website is all about birds, and that you can draw with your grandchild. You can walk with your grandchild. You can pick up with your grandchild, but you could, or with your child if you're not spending enough time with them, as opposed to playing ball. Maybe you can take care of your local park. But there are 327 citizen science programs that were studied in this paper, and they talked about some really important things that you were talking about, data collection and monitoring. So the aquarium for the Pacific has a coloring page with otters on it right now at the Denny's out in Sylmar. Maybe they have a coloring page that'll start your understanding where your nature center is, where your museum is, where your aquarium is. And you can start seeing some of these and seeing, maybe I want to draw a picture of flowers and begin to understand maybe there's a little bug that catches my eye, like a ladybug in a painting. And maybe that'll start an adventure like growing a pumpkin for October, or an adventure like following on some animal that lives in your environment like John Muir did. And he has a wonderful book called My Boyhead, by the University of Wisconsin Press. And I've never heard such beautiful descriptions of nature, the nature that you're talking about, that we need to not forget. So in this article, and then I'll get on to music because I know we've got to end soon, they talk about data collection and monitoring, content knowledge, environmental stewardship, no goal, just discovering, attitude and awareness, nature and science and how they relate. And I'm not going to go through the whole list, civic action, community health, just important ones, communication skills, using technology, science careers, getting into design, because design includes new kinds of products that might be environmentally friendly, friendly to animals, and good for our bodies. So what they found out is that by getting kids involved in time and space analysis, led to understanding and comprehension and stacks of words. And now we're back to music. So the learning outcomes were positively influenced by citizen science. You don't have to believe this young woman. You can start bringing science into the classroom, bringing vocabulary by playing Scrabble with vocabulary about fungi or mushrooms into either shopping or playing Scrabble and learning how to spell different kinds of words. The whole goal of the conversation today as a specialist is to say we all start out as maybe newcomers to the riverbank, and then just like mole, when we dig ourselves out of what we're being distracted by, we maybe see how beautiful the river is. We see that it's alive like we are, and we fall in love with the birds and the sounds of the birds and the animals. And so the natural forests here, the national forests are saying, get out to nature, go for a walk, discover it, get off your iPhones or your smartphones. But I'm saying something that's sort of both and. Our smartphones are ways that we can keep track of whether we're eating right or whether we're having our heartbeat beat at the right rate, and also how we could keep track of appointments. Maybe it's also going to show you what the earth looks like, the entire earth on a application put out by Merge VR that'll also work with headsets at your library. Some libraries have this where you can look at the earth in a holographic point of view, where you could put the earth in your hands and you can look at what's happening, and then you could go on Google Earth and even look at your schoolyard. So what I'm saying is maybe we need to replant the trees that are getting hurt by the city heating up. And maybe we need to paint our roofs a different color, or maybe we need to watch a butterfly and see if it's really gone down in our area, like the El Segundo blues, and start fighting for the birds, the tree canopies, the tree cavities that you care about. Or maybe you need to count whales, or other kinds of animals, rabbits or turtles in the desert. It can be fun, it can be surprising, it can make all the difference, and it can also change the idea of that you could talk to your doctor about the science of your own body if you find out that eating certain foods are good for you, like green leafy vegetables. So I'm encouraging people to find out about citizen science, whether it's about the wind or the soil or the weather or the clouds or the mosquitoes. Learn about how you and your child or a child you adopt, because there are a lot of foster kids around or latchkey kids that need help right now or homeless kids that need a model. So maybe there's something you can do that matters, like I'm growing little tiny baby oak trees and learning about the bugs that can get them or picking up and saving them to plant them for my classroom. So just a reminder that maybe that alert that young woman did is about us being participants in the entire ecosystem in our area, on our block, or for the world. And that is something that these satellites that enable Google Earth to work can help us be safer in our neighborhoods, safer in terms of not getting stressed out, but getting proactive about the next 10 years.
Right. I always say that, you know, the social media and the internet and all the information you can gather, it's a two-edged sword. You need to use it wisely and for enjoyment, entertainment, but education. And you also need to know, which I had to learn too, because you become addicted to it. And you need to say, okay, I'm only spending this much time. I'm going outside. I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go visit a friend. Whatever you're going to do. But you need to learn that not to become addicted to your computer or your phone, because then you're losing communication and you're losing not only with humans and your family, friends, and neighbors, you're losing communication with the planet outside, the environment. So I think, you know, you have to be everything in moderation, right?
Well, balance. Balance is a wonderful word. I've had to deal with balance because I was in a car accident and I suddenly realized my eyes and my brain are not so separate that I've had to deal with balance in my body because of having gotten whacked by an airbag and having a concussion. So your body can change because of a change in your health or in your aging process or in terms of your nutrition, just like your environment can change because someone's putting a chemical on a lawn or because it's so hot out there and people aren't watering and they think the city's going to do it or the county's going to do it, and maybe that's not happening this year the way it was. So taking care of and stewarding something is a very important thing. I'm going to come back to how that works with singing in the classroom and that teacher, Miss Duffy, that you've never forgotten. So
okay.
Music has a cycle in it, just like the seasons. And the kids are being asked to, even if they're from all over the world, they're being asked to speed up their ability to do math and English and do better at it. And also integrate technology, and they may or may not have it at home, or it may be a phone that's passed around, and a lot of times they end up gaming instead of maybe having a dictionary somewhere in their home. So how do you make the school more friendly to children that come from all over here in L.A., because we're a sort of a melting pot city? And how do you actually preserve songs and put them as part of the core curriculum? And the answer is the research in the Common Core and the Next Generation Science Standards says that the problem that kids are having in many classrooms is the teacher loses their attention because they don't know the vocabulary that's academic vocabulary that the teacher is using. So I was saying play Scrabble because that's 3 and 4 syllable words that have ION endings or maybe ING endings, but they have complex words that enable you to read labels on food at the market, but they also let you begin to understand what they're talking about when they're talking about a water cycle or a carbon cycle or a rain cycle or megastorms and all kinds of things. So what has to happen in order to make sense out of the news is we build our vocabularies. So i.e. why not play Scrabble? Because you can play it on your phone, but you could also play it with a human being, and you can laugh a lot, and you can be social. Singing is the same thing. We have to integrate use of our skills, sometimes very petite movements in our hands, if we're picking something up or we're playing an instrument and playing a note so it plays beautifully on a flute or a recorder, for example, or a drum, or we pick up something and we use it to be able to do a task. So we're talking about movement and coordination, but we're also talking about long-term memory, which ends my talk, which is about stacks of words, how memory works in the body, whether you're young or old, because we have this brain that we need to give food and fat and sugar to be able to have it be healthy, and it needs all the nutrients it needs. But between oxygen and nutrition is this other thing about experience. So singing about a story enables kids to remember the story, enables them to learn new words that are descriptive words, that are also action words, that are also words that enable them to put together academic language. It also helps them begin to learn the words so they could read the chapter in their book and understand it. And then if they speak and they participate, so when you sing, you use speaking, but you do it on a tone with breathing, so your whole system of your body gets balanced. You're using rhythm. It also puts your brain back in balance. And you're using group activity and socialness. So we are social animals that learn language from each other. So singing is a wonderful way to build vocabulary, to learn how to spell, to learn how to be in sync with your classmates, to learn soft skills that you're going to need in employment or to not interrupt the teacher, to learn how to do something in unison, and to learn to do something as a performance solo, and to be able to be appreciated by your classmates rather than making a joke and having the classroom fall apart and discipline falls apart. So these are all good school skills and social skills.
Exactly, and that is an invaluable amount of wealth for adults, parents, grandparents, guardians, teachers, and for children. And so I really want to thank you for all you're doing. And if you have a website or any information you want to provide, that a way for people to get in touch with you or your advocacy, please share that right now.
Yeah, if you want to help the child care program, you can write me at bo@kidsfirst.la. So bo@kidsfirst.la, because we're working with K through 5 in after school enrichment. If you want to text me, you can text me at 818-742-5099 and just tell me your interest, and it'll take a little while because of what's going on here with back to school, but I'd love to hear from you if you'd like to text me. And if you'd like to support the nonprofit, or the nonprofit I also volunteer time for, which is the Celtic Arts Center over in North Hollywood, please just buy something that you like on Amazon Smile, and we'll get a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of help. But maybe it'll also make your day brighter, and some of these books might help. Then the final thing is, if you want to find out about the possibility for kids in school in Northern California, there's a program called 10strands.org, and that will tell you what's happening here that might matter to your child. And we mentioned the Aquarium of the Pacific, of the Long Beach Aquarium, Heal the Bay, FOLAR, which is Friends of the LA River, and the Audubon Society for the Valley in terms of our park at Balboa Park. Find your local group that you want to work out with and count the birds.
Thank you so much, Bo LeBeau. And thank you for all the information and for caring about the kids and about our environment. And you take care and God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a wonderful, wonderful fall. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And Bo LeBeau has left the building, and we have left authors and experts, and we are about to take a little break, and we'll be back with a little look at what's happening with the impeachment going on with President Donald J. Trump versus Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Yes, be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe. If you happen to be near Sierra Vista, Tucson, or any of those areas around Benson, and on your way up to the Bisbee, it's a really wonderful little town. You'd be very surprised. You'd want to stay there. Trust me, it's like being in Europe. It's amazing. So now we'll enter into the world of politics. Trump releases Ukraine phone call transcript, which proves to be another Democrat nothing burger, this article says. And you can find this at davidharrisjr.com. He writes that in the midst of Democrat impeachment fervor, President Donald Trump on Wednesday released the full transcript of his phone call with the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, exactly like he said he would. Trump and Zelensky spoke on several topics that had made Democrats gun for the president more than ever before. One of them being the DNC server that former DNC chairwoman, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, said was hacked by the Russians during the 2016 election and how it is now believed to be in Ukraine, along with the topic of former Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, during the conversation. Trump, I just want to let you know that's the other thing. There's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution, and a lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the Attorney General would be great. Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution, so if you can look into it, it sounds horrible to me. President Zelensky said, I wanted to tell you about the prosecutor. First of all, I understand. I'm knowledgeable about the situation. Since we have won the absolute majority in our parliament, the next prosecutor general will be 100% my person, my candidate, who will be approved by the parliament and will start as a new prosecutor in September. He or she will look into the situation, specifically to the company that you mentioned in this issue. The issue of the investigation of the case is actually the issue of making sure to restore the honesty. So we will take care of that, and we will work on the investigation of the case. Well, that doesn't sound all that serious. The president also spoke about CrowdStrike, the cybersecurity company used by the Democrat National Committee in 2016 to examine the hacked servers, one of which is the one now believed to be in the Ukraine. Wasserman Schultz refused to let the FBI, the premier computer forensics organization in the world, look at the servers. Incidentally, CrowdStrike was co-founded by a former protege of then FBI director Robert Mueller. That's very interesting. CrowdStrike was co-founded by a former protege of then FBI director Robert Mueller. So now you know how they were recommended to the DNC. They had an FBI insider as their founder. That is stunning. And you can also see the entire letter online, the transcript online. And Mr. Harris Jr. goes on to say, all of this nonsense over another Democrat nothing burger. The Department of Justice's Criminal Division reviewed the whistleblower's complaint against President Trump in August and had determined that based on the law, there were no campaign finance violations during his conversation with Ukrainian President Zelensky and that no further action was warranted. And as far as I can tell, and in my opinion, the whistleblower, who is anonymous so far, was a third party. So that would make that, in my opinion, hearsay, because I've been involved in the court system for 30 years and an advocate for justice and help hundreds of mainly women and children around this country. And so hearsay is not allowed in a courtroom, and there is no audio of the conversation as well. So hearing something from a third party can be viewed and heard in someone's head and repeated differently than the actual conversation, as we all know. And that's why hearsay is not allowed in a courtroom. And so they don't allow third parties to testify and give their what they thought they heard or what they thought they saw but actually didn't see or didn't hear firsthand. So that's that, and it seems like another bogus witch hunt and another hoax. I don't think President Trump has to worry about being impeached, and the majority of Americans are not into having the country disrupted and paying for an impeachment process. Well, the environment needs to be taken care of. The water needs to be clean. The pollution needs to be cleaned up. The jobs are needed in our country to put people to work. And we need to bring companies back to America to put people to work and bring more taxes into our country to restore, repair, and rebuild infrastructure. Our infrastructure is very old, and in the 1990s, it was either Newsweek or Time, a very articulate writer wrote about the dire need of infrastructure repairs and that it was going to cost billions of dollars back then, and that our tunnels and our bridges and our highways and our streets and our dams needed repairs. And that was back in the 90s. Well, here we are in 2019, still in dire need of infrastructure repairs. So God bless you. God bless America. God bless the President of the United States and all our politicians, and may he place his hand on them and guide them in the right direction and for the sake of the country and future generations.
Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.